What are you looking for? What are you looking for? This seems like an odd question that Jesus asks the two disciples, right? You know, these two disciples were disciples of John the Baptist, and they were with him when Jesus walks by, and John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so, of course, these two disciples leave John the Baptist and follow Jesus. But I doubt they were expecting Jesus to immediately turn to them and ask this question, "What are you looking for?" It's almost like he's challenging them. You know, you can almost see them saying, like, "Well, you know, like John the Baptist said you were the Lamb of God, so we thought we were supposed to follow you. Like, did we do something wrong?" But no, this question of Jesus gets at a much deeper thing. In a sense, he is challenging them. Really, he's asking them, what are the deepest questions on your heart? What are those deepest longings on your heart? You know, those might be, where do I belong? Or what is my purpose? Or am I truly loved? Because, of course, these are the fundamental questions on every human heart. And the disciples' response, at first glance, is just as puzzling as the question. You know, the disciples responded to Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And this seems like an odd response, right? If Jesus is asking, "What are you looking for?" And especially if we understand this question to get at that deeper sense of, you know, what are those deep questions on your heart? It seems strange that they would ask this question, "Where are you staying?" So here, too, we have to go just a little bit deeper. You see, in the Greek, the word staying can also be translated to as abiding or remaining. So the disciples are really asking Jesus, where are you remaining or where are you abiding? We actually get this same word that's translated here as staying a couple other times in John's gospel. We hear it in John chapter 6 when Jesus says to the disciples, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I remain in him." And we hear it as well in John chapter 15 when Jesus says to the apostles, "Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me." So again, when the disciples ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" they're not merely just asking, you know, like, "What inn did you pick out in town tonight?" But they're asking, "Where are you remaining?" In a sense, this question is getting at the very identity of who Jesus is. They're asking, "Where are you remaining? With whom are you remaining?" They're asking if he is truly the Lamb of God who abides with the Heavenly Father. And when we understand this question in this light, it is a profound response to Jesus' initial question. Again, Jesus was asking, "What are you looking for? What are those deepest questions on your heart?" And they're responding, "Where are you staying? With whom are you abiding?" You know, they're essentially saying, "Are you truly the one who will answer these questions on our heart?" And this dialogue between Jesus and the disciples gets at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. In a sense, these are the only questions that matter. Nothing about our faith really matters unless we first are able to recognize these deep questions in our heart and know that Jesus Christ has the answer. Again, nothing about our faith matters until we recognize these deep questions in our heart, these longings which we have, and that we know that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment, that Jesus Christ is the answer. Now, I remember back in my senior year of high school, for Lent, I decided to do something a little different. You know, instead of fasting from TV or from chocolate or something like that, I decided instead of giving something up, I was actually going to do something extra for Lent. And so that year, I decided I was going to go to daily mass for Lent. And, you know, this was pretty radical for me. I, you know, I went to Mass every Sunday, but daily Mass was something very foreign to me, not something I was used to. But I had an incredible experience. An incredible experience going to Mass day after day, encountering our Lord in the Eucharist day after day. And pretty short into Lent, I found myself once or twice a week stopping in the Adoration Chapel at my home parish before or after Mass while I was already at the church. And by the end of Lent, I found myself almost every day spending a little extra time before or after Mass going to our Adoration Chapel. And it was in this environment, it was in this daily encounter with our Lord in his Eucharistic presence, where I came to know these own questions on my heart, these same questions which Jesus is asking. You know, it was in that environment which I was able to ask the Lord, Lord, what is my purpose? Lord, am I truly loved? And even more than that, it was in the context of adoration and in Mass that I was able to come to find the answer to these questions. That it was being before my Lord in the Eucharist, day after day, which I came to know without a doubt that I was truly a beloved son of the Father, and that his will for my life, whatever that was going to be for my good. That no matter where the Lord brought me in my life, that I knew that he had a plan for me, for my happiness and fulfillment. And this experience, of course, changed everything. It had changed the way I saw the world. It changed the way I saw my faith. Of course, before that, I didn't really understand, you know, the church with all its rules and obligations and restrictions. But it was in this context when I understood fundamentally that I was a beloved son of God and that he had a plan for my happiness, where I was able to see all these things that the church taught as truly a way that I was able to better love God and that he was able to better love me. Brothers and sisters, this weekend we are doing our annual adoration outreach. We are encouraging everyone to seriously consider taking an adoration hour once a week. And even more than that, we're just inviting everyone to spend a little bit more time with our Eucharistic Lord. Maybe you can't sign up, but maybe you can spend a little extra time each week stopping into the Adoration Chapel. You know, when I first started going to Adoration, I thought it was merely this chance to gaze upon our Eucharistic Lord, to say like John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God." But the more I went to Adoration, the more I realized that it was God's opportunity to say to me, "Behold my beloved son." And these are the same words that God wants you to hear as you encounter him in the Eucharist.